Yo. Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Okay. Phil, again, the pod has already started. Okay? I do gotcha. A little preamble now. Okay? Yep. Okay.
The best cold opens are the cold opens that go, this is a cold open.
The best cold opens are going, time for the cold open. Time for the cold open.
Thank you, cold open.
All right. That was a terrific cold open. And now let's start the podcast. Actually, I got to check my level still, but this is, we're going to do this together.
Sammy,
I forgot to do this before, but it's staying on the pod. You guys are getting a little about BTS, baby.
Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa.
This is hot garbage.
Woo! Let's get the flare in here. Where's the fucking flare? There we go.
Not changing my lifestyle.
I'm four or five women every day of my life. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where the comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, Dan Black, the funniest podcaster in the motherfucking universe. If you turn off this podcast, I'll fucking kill you. A.K.A. Dunsky Black Amora, A.K.A. Donnie Wrestling. A.K.A. the modern day Goof and Spoof. I can tell my levels are way too high. Spoof, ah, Raja, coming at you like Cleopatra, baby.
Gabba gabba wee.
Yeah, this girl, she's mine. And hop, hop, hum.
This is hot garbage. Oh,
a little bit of the bubbly.
Baby! Damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all our spicy, muy, muy, muy caliente, chef's kiss, mwah, 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 wrestling reactions, and other stuff. I just had this song in my head and was thinking when I start the pod this week, I'm going to play it. A lot of talk about Malakai Black. All the fakes are snakes, baby. Aleister Black coming at you, everybody. You know this wrestler. He's got tattoos. He's married to Tia Trinidad, a.k.a. Zelina Vega. His name's Aleister Black. And it's time to see if he's actually good when he joins A.E. Motherfucking W. Black Mass 101, bitches.
Man. Fire me up, dude.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Cowpod.
Is that not... That's like instantly top five entrance themes ever in the history.
Another Long Island legendary band right there.
Right, Incendiary. Shout them out.
I mean, God damn it. It's a bummer that song's just going to, I don't know, do nothing, right?
Just exist on my playlist.
It exists on our soundboard here. Man, everybody, welcome back. Before we get into it, this podcast is sponsored by Patreon.com. We're sponsored now by that.
Wow.
Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Go support the podcast, get access to our bonus episodes. We have bonus episodes every Friday. You know the fucking drill. You know what's up. I don't want to explain it all.
That must mean we don't need a Patreon anymore.
Because we're sponsored by Patreon.
Right.
You know,
we're
going to
keep it.
Patreon.
We're going to keep it, though.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just introduce the room here today, because it's actually going to be a smaller pod today. It's just me, and he's here. The nasty one. Nasty Newman Hagen. What's up, bro?
How about it?
What up, my man?
I just blew my larynx.
I was saying we're dressed exactly the same, except you're the Weekend Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's version. Okay.
Right. You gotta play here. Play roll the Alistair theme again.
Yeah. So this is Weekend at Bernie's, where the Aleister Black music is the one that activates the spell. Okay, let's see. Rise from your grave. Oh no, he's fine. He's just no. That's my uncle. That's my uncle Bernie. He's fine. He's got a bit of a twitch. He's got a little bit of a twitch. Oh no, I can't turn down that loud death metal. I can't turn that down.
Sierra Hotel Echo.
Oh my. We were having a good time.
We were just having a good fucking time. Oh my god, it sounds like it's the Comedians Wrestling Champion, Jason Jabiro. See, it sounds like he's still coming live from what he calls the mainland, Hawaii.
I would never call this paradise the mainland. I would never. It is the main place to be for me and my main mans, the Ever Beach Bad Boys, but this is on island. I am on island. Yeah. I'm in the beautiful island nation of Hawaii, my adopted homeland.
Are there lyrics to this song now that you've been in Hawaii so long? Is there?
Yeah. It's called Aloha Ole, and you just sing that over and over again. That's it.
How does it go? You can't do it?
I'm not going to appropriate the culture because I've been embraced by.
Is it appropriating if you said that you've been fully embraced?
I've been fully embraced, but part of the reason I'm so embraced is because I know not to push it. They don't need me singing in Hawaiian. Look, everyone knows that I'm the POS.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that you, of all people, are succeeding because you know how not to push it?
Yeah.
Shebs is succeeding in Hawaii because of his respect.
Because of his restraint?
Yes. See, here's what you guys and a lot of the listeners don't understand, and a lot of listeners do understand, is that in comedy, in art, in life, you don't know the line until you step over it. And I'm a guy who toes that line, or as Dan knows, I've always said this.
Someone you idolize.
I walk the razor's edge. And sometimes you make a little misstep. But for the most part, I'm right on the level you need to be to fly as close to the sun before those beautiful wax wings burn and melt. And that's why I'm respected here. That's why I'm embraced here, because I give the respect back. It's a two-way street. Honestly, I got to say, I've been getting a lot of respect from the podcast and the listeners as well. So I'm in a great mood. I don't feel like I'm some heel champion. I think I've proven that I've done nothing but support the pod and help the pod and grow the pod. And I'm happy to be here, guys. Happy to hang with my friends.
Okay, great. Well, listen, we got a lot. We got Money in the Bank coming up this weekend. That's going to dictate a lot. What flavor?
It's a passion fruit, truly hard seltzer.
Oh my
I like
God,
to live true. I like
drinking?
To stay true. Well,
what time is it over there? I think it's before noon over there. You're crushing it truly before noon?
It's 11:10 a.m. right now, Hawaii Standard Time.
That always catches me off guard that it's actually called Hawaii Standard Time.
Yeah, it's Hawaii.
That
I mean, there's nothing.
Like a goof.
There's nothing here. It's only
Hawaii.
It's
literally
Hawaii.
5 o'clock
like what,
somewhere.
What other time would it be? Like, obviously, what else would it be called?
There's literally not another piece of dry land where a human being would have to record the time. It's just Hawaii, and let me tell you another fun fact.
It's Hawaii on its own time zone, right?
Yeah.
No one else has that Hawaii, that time zone.
And we don't do daylight. We don't do daylight savings here. It just stays Hawaii standard. Sometimes I'm five
every time
behind.
You say we, every time you say we, for some reason, triggers me. But
I'm just saying, it's a rock in the middle. It's a series of rocks. There's like about eight main islands. Oh, what
rocks.
Flavor?
Lime, duh.
Well, I said passion fruit, truly hard seltzer, duh.
All right.
Anyway, the point is, all these islands, they're all 808 area code. They're all Hawaii Standard Time time zone. And they're all firm Chabroniacs and supporter of the one true cow champion.
All right, well, that's fine.
Correct.
We'll give you that. All right, here's the thing, though. Newman was just doing, I don't know if you saw, but Newman was just doing, he was doing a weekend at,
We get a Bernie's.
What we call it? Weekend at Alistair's.
Alistair's. Have you done this bit before?
No. He's doing Weekend at Alistair's. I'm curious if, but the, Newman. I mean, it was a bit that you absolutely demolished.
Oh, so funny! If you're not watching the Comedians of Wrestling podcast on YouTube,
you gotta watch it on YouTube. I just want to make sure people know to go to the YouTube.
Please just watch this. Start with this episode because that was spot on. It was fucking hilarious. Weekend at Alistair's is the unofficial third movie in the trilogy to Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, you know, I studied clowning in France, and so that's where I got all my body movement.
Did you study under the Supreme Chancellor of Clowning, Marcel Marceau?
Of course I did.
That's incredible.
Well, I wouldn't go all the way to France. Who else would
I don't know.
Study under?
Hey, fun fact, the room I stay in, the penthouse on Alawai Boulevard in Hawaii, guy who I rented it from, is a drama teacher in Hawaii, and he trained under Marcel Marceau in France.
Nice.
It's a lineage.
That's true?
It is.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. I swear. Yeah,
like, I have a message for him.
Oh, good for you.
Send that over to him.
I also need to say something about Weekend at Bernie's. Weekend at Bernie's 1, I believe, there is no dancing. He's just a dead guy that they pretend isn't dead. Weekend at Bernie's 2, that's when the voodoo curse is put on him, and then he animates for the Calypso music. So
who gives a shit?
That's called a perfect, your sketch teacher, that's called a perfect heighten.
Perfect heighten. But let me tell you, if you haven't seen Weekend at Bernie's 2, if you have not watched that movie, go back and watch it. Because there's a scene where he seduces a woman at a party, even though he's an animated corpse. He dances her to the ocean, and they, I think, fuck on the beach. I'm pretty sure that is a plot point of Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Oh, my God.
And she, the whole time, has no idea that this guy is dead.
Hey, baby, rigor mortis already set in. Nothing's getting solved.
Every 90s movie. Oh, sorry, you go.
Do you think that Weekend at Bernie's, the character Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's 2, do you think that his dick is flaccid and then when the music comes on, it hardens to the beat and then it pumps up to get a rock hard bone? Or do you think that he's hard the entire time?
He's pre-apic. Oh, I think he's, is he pre-apic or is it like?
Right, is it a rigor mortis?
Perpetually hard, right?
Is it one of those dancing Coke cans from the 90s?
That's what we all need to know. That's what I would write to the editor of Weekend at Bernie's magazine.
I like to think the curse gets him going. And then it goes from, like, you know, phase 1 is just the body getting loose. You know, then phase 2 is, like, the hips or whatever. Phase 3 is the fucking, the dick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yo, so I was talking to my...
We get a Bernie's 2 fucking rules.
Oh, man.
By the way, how this actor not get... There's no Academy Award for, like, best... dead limbo, but this is incredible acting by
this
guy.
I mean, this is why the Oscars are fucking bullshit. Like, they that's got to be up for best actor. I mean, that's
who's the actor who played?
Why is it always like
Terry Kaiser?
You got to be dying of cancer in a bed. You can't pull off Weekend at Bernie's 2. No, it's dominating the movie. But I'm saying they're not going to be best script.
Yeah. It's Terry Kaiser who. I mean, he has more credits than anybody in the world.
Can we talk about this for a second? So I was talking. I was giving one of my friends a little improv lesson. Okay. And I was giving the note like, all right, you've earned the funny idea here. Now make a move that you think is too big, right, Newman? I've given you this note before. I'm like you don't realize that like to get ahead of the audience right now, they understand it enough. You can fucking shoot for the moon right now. You know what I mean? And that fucking Weekend at Bernie's 2 is just shooting for the fucking moon. Like, they're like, yo, people get it. They get it. You get the idea. We get the justification. Like, you need him alive. You're going to prop him up. Well, they're like, why not? Everyone's having fun. Why
that's the entire Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yeah. Why not? Exactly. What if a voodoo curse is placed on him that makes him reanimate when there's music playing?
Dude. Everyone was like, that's chill. That's fucking chill as fuck. I love that.
Shout out to the late 80s, early 90s for also being able to incorporate voodoo curses and not get canceled. I mean, I love it. I miss it.
All right, here's another shout out to the by the way, this is a negative. This is not a shout out. But you brought something up. All the 90s movies, the way they treat women is like, even if a woman is not giving consent to a sexual act, the second you initiate it, they're like, oh, I love this, right? So, like, right. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, I know it's a fucked up thing to talk about, but that's why, like, you could pull off in those Bernies. It's just like, the second he gets them going, they're into it. Right?
No, that's
so
the whole,
even if he's a dead fucking guy, it's fucking
that's the,
crazy.
That's the baby it's cold outside culture, right? Yeah. It's like a woman.
That's what you're deeming it?
No, but I'm saying that's what you're talking about is the reflections and the echoes of, oh, it's a woman's job to say, no, 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 I don't want to. I'm preserving my chastity or my honor. And not, and they're not sort of, they're not permitted by society to say, oh, I do want to engage in some sort of romantic encounter. They have to pretend that they don't. And then it's the man's job to push it. Right, and that paradigm is bullshit and gross and archaic and outdated. Right, so in the 80s and 90s, we were still in that world where, like, oh, girls have to be like not so fast, Buster, and men have to die and then get a voodoo curse and then reanimate and then grind on them.
And this is what made me realize this, except for when I just rewatched Back to the Future.
Yeah,
and Marty's mom is trying to get it, bro. And it feels so out of character because she's like a 50s mom, right? Who's just so aggressively pursuing him.
Here's the thing. They're called baby boomers for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
They got to fucking a lot.
They fucked.
They were horny, the horniest generation.
Oh, yeah.
We call them baby bangers in this
episode. Oh, whoa.
Oh, you didn't know?
Down and down. Down. Yeah. All right, everybody. So one thing I forgot to mention, I'm going to be uploading a mini-sode of CowPod that I recorded with Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin, and the Magent, Brian Dipperstein. You're doing a little Cheap Heat crossover where we were chilling in Skylar's hot tub, just three Jewish men having a soak. And we started talking about the Mount Rushmore of wrestling, which I know Phil does not enjoy those conversations. But we started veering into some interesting territory about what does a tier two Mount Rushmore look like if you stack in Rushmores, the tier threes and a tier four, and that got pretty interesting.
So that's interesting.
Like, 12-minute episode. I'm gonna post. I'll post it on the Patreon, then I'll put it on the main feed at some point or whatever. But that'll go out to all patrons. It's a little bonus.
I mean, you're essentially doing like top 100, but four at a time.
Yeah. It's like a top 10. It's like a top 12.
But listen, bro.
But if you keep going.
That's like saying wrestling's fake. You know what I mean? Like, you're diminishing the value of putting four.
It's like, hey, you know what Patreon. I mean? Patreon, you've heard us do our top 10. Now, exclusive content. We're going to do our top 10 in three parts of four in the same episode.
Yeah, Newman, I agree with you. Everything we do is stupid. That I agree with you. I completely agree with you. That's what you're saying.
That was the subtext, but yeah.
This is like Scientology, where if you pay enough money to the Patreon, then Dan just reveals, hey, honestly, this is complete bullshit, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and I'm an idiot, and wrestling's not even that good, you guys. That's the secret.
So anyway, by the way, I'm coming at you. I'm clicking on so it's like, you know, if you watch like a WWE clip on YouTube, like it gives you a, like preview clips.
Yes,
and that's always where I'm watching the shit I want to watch, because I'll like watch a little clip from Raw, like to rewatch like a move or something, whatever. And I'm just seeing the clip of Lesnar when he ripped that fucking door off the car. Do you remember that? And he just threw it, and it almost just hits an audience member like a fucking lunatic. Yeah. First off, what he does is he takes an axe, if you remember. He starts axing the catalog. People don't like wrestling. Are you fucking dumb? Are you fucking dumb? Lesnar literally axes a brand new Cadillac, rips the door off with his bare hands, and throws it at the crowd.
Now, do we think that door was gimmicked, or do you think he has that kind of brute strength?
I think he has that.
It was definitely
strength.
Not gimmicked. He has that brute strength, because I don't care to think otherwise. There's no benefit to that.
Another question. Is Lesnar such a supreme athlete that he's able to know how hard to throw that door so that it just falls shy of the audience, or was he completely surprised by how far that thing launched
and
I think he was in danger of killing a person?
I think you see it on his face the same way that, like, when Randy Orton was slamming one of the fucking Bollywood boys.
Sunil Singh.
Yeah. When he was slamming him onto the table, and he just did, like, a fucking full 360 rotation, and you saw Orton's face be like, so I didn't mean to throw this little asshole that far, you know?
That was amazing. That's a great moment.
Where you basically see Orton's face like, stop giving me these little fucking bitches to wrestle. I won't throw them. He won't break their necks.
Can you give me someone who passes the Orton test, please, for their own safety?
Orton hasn't wrestled someone who passed the Orton test in God knows how long.
Wow. Man.
Right?
Because he hasn't wrestled himself.
Patented by Dave Shoemaker, the Orton test, by the way. Let's give him props. And by the way, speaking of Dave Shoemaker, coming at you, I was watching Dipperstein recommended I should watch what's it called? The fuck on the network. It's called like The Day Of, maybe? Not Day Of. Not Day Of.
24?
Untold on the WWE Network coming at you. And they have one that is just, it's like, and it's cool. It's like 40 minutes, which is really sweet. And it's Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, just talking about their whole relationship. It goes from them, Shawn's run, them bringing Kevin Nash in and how he got that job, how he got the job as Shawn Michaels' bodyguard, right? And then it goes from him, Nash, leaving in the curtain call, why he left, and how Shawn felt about that. And it's just like that period of time, and they interview both of them. And Shawn is fucking awesome in this. He's like, listen, I can't hide anything. Like, everyone, it's well documented what a piece of shit I used to be. So I'm just going to tell you what a piece of shit I was, you know?
Wow.
It's fucking good. It's now, the beef is it's on fucking Peacock, which is, oh, my, not one of my guys. Peacock Network, although, gave me access to rewatch The Office. And by rewatch, watch for the first time is what I mean. And that was fun. But boy, oh boy, WWE in Peacock, can they make like a separate, I want them to make a separate Peacock WWE app at the least. Mm.
So it's missing the network. You're missing the network.
Listed wrong. It's listed in the same protocols as the rest of the fucking app. So it's like 37 seasons of WrestleMania. You can't find any of the programming. They clearly don't understand what the programming is and how to program it. It sucks. Right. It truly sucks.
Truly.
But this shit was this. I highly recommend watching this if you're looking for something to watch on the talk. It was really, really good. I'll give you a couple fun tidbits. Shawn Michaels explains. Shawn Michaels explains why he had a mullet haircut. He was like, "Yo, like, it wasn't the style." He was like, "It just like this part would like grow when I was wrestling, like that part would get in my eyes, so I just cut it." I didn't even know until he met his wife, who was like, "This haircut sucks," and then she's like, "Why don't you grow it all out?" And he was like, "Oh, I didn't know. I thought this haircut was cool."
Now I'm wondering if he invented the mullet.
No, the mullet was cool. Wrestlers like to like really legendaryize their fucking saga. Like, here's the deal. It was the 80s. It was the early 90s. People had mullets. He didn't invent the mullet. Right. Everyone had the mullet. It actually was cool. His wife was just being an asshole. Oh, she wasn't wrong, though. It's a bad hairstyle, but he had one because it was cool. He didn't fucking make up mullets for functionality.
Was it Sherry? Was it Sensational Sherry that told him?
Yeah.
At any point did Shawn Michaels lament or go into the fact that he used to be like at least an 8, 9, perhaps a 10 in some women's eyes?
Yeah.
And then he somehow, like, one of his eyes went complete fucking walleye, like hard left.
He never talks about what happened to the eye.
And then his voice somehow just went like 10 frogs, like the second of the 10 plagues just like crawled down his throat, and he has like a forever froggy in there. Like, did he explain,
maybe
what happened?
Sean. Maybe Sean will, I don't know. Maybe
we'll
find
out. Actually, that is
all right, Shawn Michaels is here, actually, everybody. Shawn.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I'm not as sexy as I used to be, though, according to Jason Shapiro.
I get it.
Look, the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels. What is up, my man?
Look, I get it. I used to be a 10, I used to be a sexy boy, but now that's changed, all right? I have to go to a place like Cincinnati or something if I want to be an 8 or a 7, you know?
You heard it here first. Shawn Michaels is now a Cincinnati 7.
I'm a Trailer Park 9, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it, all right?
Oy.
And look, to answer your question, yeah. I woke up, and it was just like that. I can't explain it. God works in mysterious ways.
Oh, you think it's a God thing? You think
of course, everything.
With like Dan, 30 years of wrestling and bashing your face and head.
Dan.
It's a God thing?
Dan, everything's a God thing, Dan.
Everything's a God thing. Okay.
You know what else is a God thing?
What?
The parking lot
of
Emily Methodist Church, where we're going to be having a roller rink put in this summer. We're going to be have a bash, so come on down. We're going to come on down to Emily Methodist Church in Levittown, Pennsylvania. We're going to have a roller rink. We're going to have animals to pet for the kids. This is what I do now. I'm a busker for various outdoor activities like motor speedways and church parking lots.
Okay, Sean. So, yeah, the other thing Sean says is that, and I guess you're here, you could comment on this.
Uh-huh.
In the documentary, Shawn Michaels is like, I was like, he's like, I was so sexy, like, when I was wrestling, when I'd wrestle, I had all this confidence, you know, like,
yep.
And he's like, but then I would meet women, and like, I wasn't smooth with women, like, I didn't know how to, like, because of my wrestling persona, would be just like grab a woman and fucking make out with her. But in the wild, you can't be like that. But I can't ask a woman just like, hey, do you come here often? Or like, can I buy you a drink? He's like, I would never do that as Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid.
Right. So yep, you're saying like true. Michael Shawn Higginbottom had a tough time trying to pretend to be Shawn Michaels in the wild. Shawn, what was it like? How did you meet women?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's when I would go up to a woman in a bar, and I would say, look, I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy.
I got the looks.
I would recite my theme song to them.
Right.
But it turns out, without all the other theatrics, the theme song kind of falls flat. Mm. You know? I can't exactly come ziplining into birds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, without the theatrics, you just, like, chicks are not into you?
No, I'm just a guy from wherever the hell I'm from.
San Antonio,
Texas. That's right. San Antonio, Texas. Come on down to San Antonio Motor Speedway this weekend. We got bar fights, simulators, and we got tractor pulls.
Bar fight simulator? I would love to play bar fight simulator.
Bar fight simulators and tractor pulls? Sean, I don't know why you have to have such attractions. Like, people still, you're one of the best wrestlers of all time.
No, it's like, not true. But look. Look, man. Look. Look at me now. Look at me now. All right,
wow.
It's gone.
It's gone.
So right. That's what I got. By the way, bar fight simulator is just you fight in public, but you're not drunk.
Bar fight simulator, I think, is one of those games where there's two like handle, like how Punch Out used to be. You know, right. There's like two like joysticks, and then they just spritz you in the face with whiskey.
Right. It's like that arm wrestling robot game, except for it's not a fake robot. It's a real homeless person that you just fist fight. It's Texas, baby.
The thing about Sean is like, anyway, whatever. You guys watch it. All right, Sean. Wait, one last thing, Sean. Can you show?
Yeah, I gotta go. I'm double parked. But what
if you
is
were
it?
Cast in? If you were cast in Weekend at Sean's, Shawn Michaels.
Uh huh.
Can you just show us how that might go?
Look, I can tell you how it would go. I'm hard 24/7.
All right, get out of here. You don't know. All
right. See, that's Shawn Michaels talking. That's not Michael Shawn Higginbottom right there.
Oh, my God. Anyway, folks, this is a wrestling podcast. We're doing a great job. Shebs, it says that you had a special announcement here. Was that
I had a big announcement. I have a big announcement.
Yeah, what do you need? You need a cage-lowering music?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic, actually.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so if you're following the Comedians of Wrestling on Facebook, at the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group, where people talk about wrestling until 4 in the morning under his eye, you'll know that I recently posted a video from Ala Moana Beach Park in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, where I said this week I had a very big announcement. The future of the podcast, the future of the title, is in the balance here. And my announcement is, you know, with Money in the Bank coming up, with SummerSlam right around the corner.
Yeah.
My announcement is that next week, on this very podcast, I will have a major announcement for the Comedians of Wrestling podcast listeners. Huge. So the announcement next week is so big that just announcing that there's an announcement next week is a very big announcement. So this right here is a big announcement in itself.
Wow, so your announcement is that there's an announcement that you're going to be doing next week.
Dan, I mean, the way you say that sort of minimizes what I was building up. I'm saying there is an announcement next week that is so monumental, that puts Money in the Bank in the balance, that puts SummerSlam in the balance, that puts the future of this title in the balance. It is so mage that just announcing that I will announce something that big next week is a pretty good size announcement. This is like a Cincinnati 7, this announcement.
Okay. All right, well, all right, fine.
Let me tell you something else. This announcement concerns everybody. Not just you, not just Newman, okay. Not just Aaron, I don't know where she is, not just Tulo, who, by the way, after all I've done for this kid over the years, The amount of disrespect that he gives to the champion, I said in the group, hey, I have a big announcement. He said, okay, I'm not going to be there. He's not on this episode because I have a big announcement. Look, he's only hurting himself because the announcement may pertain to him. May pertain to anybody. So if I was him,
Tulo's
I would make
right
it.
Now literally driving. He's driving all of Texas watching wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm. He's driving and watching. You shouldn't watch anything.
He's on his Supermark World Tour.
He's going to Houston Friday for SmackDown. Then some Dallas, maybe.
He's going to AEW tonight.
Yep.
Oh, he's going to AEW tonight.
Yeah, if you want to keep tabs on him, you can check him out on Instagram.
Going to AEW. Oh, AEW tonight is in Austin, right?
Huge.
Fyter Fest Night 1.
It's already Fyter Fest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like just yesterday it was Road Rager. I mean, where did they come up with all these fun names?
Well, that's the one thing they do. We should talk about that. Like, AEW is one thing they do is they just brand every show as a pay-per-view.
It's so smart. That's like saying you have an announcement to announce an announcement. It's like, I'm like, whoa, what's this big, what's Road Rager? And you're like, oh, it's just, they're going to have like a good episode of Dynamite.
And it's Dynamite. They're like, we're going to Miami or whatever.
I love that. I love it.
I love it.
I love it also. We all love everything they're doing over there.
Dude, yeah. You know what it is? It's fucking eating the whole buffalo. It's making delicacies out of like, you know, chicken feet. It's like, all right, This is the scraps we have. We don't have pay-per-view space. We have this weekly slot on TNT. You know what? We're calling it a thing. Guess what? This is what's up now. Right. And we all fucking buy it. Hook, line, and sinker. And let me tell you something else. They also deliver. I feel like Road Rager was fucking mode major. It was fantastic. So they're making these things count. So I can't
Wait,
hate
Road
on
Rager
them.
Was what?
Mode major. It was in a major mode. And I'm not speaking out of school saying that. I think we could all agree the mode of Road Rager was quite major.
It was Mixolydian.
I love that for you. I think that was great.
It's a major
I'll go into – I think we should just talk about the cards of these shows. I have a couple of pieces of business that we can get into also, which I'll weave in. But here's a random thing I'm pretty excited about. I'm going to PWG Return Show. August 1st.
Wrestling Guerrilla.
Nice. August 1st?
PWG ticks. Yeah. It's Mystery Sunday? Vortex 7. Meaning, so here's what I'm thinking.
Dude, Dan, I haven't even recovered from Mystery Vortex 6.
Dan, what? Did I do something to, like, offend you or to, like, did I do something to, like, fall out of your good graces? Because, like, I want to apologize if I did.
Why? Because I didn't invite you to PWG?
Because, I mean, it just seems weird. You know what I mean? So like, I'm just assuming that maybe I did something because I know you're not
guy. Bro. You didn't do anything. Well,
Newman, it's not that you did anything. It's that you just didn't do enough, apparently, to get
into actually,
Dan's...
So the tickets went on sale, like, super last second. And then I picked it up. I'll find you a ticket. You want to go? I'll find you a ticket. All right? What do you want?
It's on the 1st?
Yeah.
I can't make it.
Oh my god, you fucking piece of shit. Woo! Oh my god, folks. We joke around here, guys. I don't know if you know that, but we mess around, bro. We like poke each other, you know what I mean? But like there's a lot of love here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we fuck with each other, but like we love each other, you know what I mean?
Right.
All
right,
anyway, but I was thinking like, do you think there's a chance you see like Bucks on that show? Like first PWG back in California? And like, you know what I mean? To like get these, to like help the fucking promotion that started them. I feel like there's going to be some good people on that show. Because it's labeled as Mystery Vortex, which is the shows they do where they don't announce the card. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if they're picking up where they left off, the show was not Mystery Vortex. So they called this one that. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So I'm hoping there'll be some cool shit.
I think there's a very good chance to see the Young Bucks there.
Would just be so fucking awesome.
But I also feel like at this point in my life, I think I've seen maybe not enough of the Young Bucks, but I feel like I've seen the best I'm going to get out of the Young Bucks.
I mean, did you AEW, the main event they had last week, we talked about it on the bonus episode, but the main event was Eddie Kingston and Penta Cero Miedo versus the Young Bucks. And the finish of that match was so fucking sick. They just loaded up Eddie Kingston's mouth with tacks and just double kicked him in the mouth and double pinned him. It was so sick.
Can we just have a moment of silence for just if Eddie Kingston just get in shape, bro.
He's got all the tools.
CM Punk said he's the only guy whose promos even watches right now. Like, this guy has something so special, and yet he refuses to just do a cycle, stop eating pizza pies, and commit to the and like take his career serious.
It's definitely frustrating to me, but I also am at the point where like I like the guy so much I don't even care. Like I'm like, he looks fucking awesome to me.
I mean, look, I see him come out in that WCW what is NWO World Tour generic creative player outfit.
It
every
literally
time.
Looks like when you're right, exactly. Default player one. It's what they addressed it when you choose the creative player before you customize it.
Comes out in a fucking revenge THQ WCW NWO revenge generic jumpsuit number one, where you could change the color of the stripes on the side, and sometimes it's red and sometimes it's yellow.
Anyway.
Hey, real quick, the AEW video game.
Yeah.
I've seen some sprites. I've seen Darby Allin be shared. It looks great. Do we have any intel on what's going on with that video game? Is that the THQ AKI engine, or is it a different... Like, what's up?
I think they were trying to pay some respect to it, so I think yes. I think they actually said that, but I don't know.
It's the same engine, yeah.
It's the same thing, right?
If it's the same engine, I'm fucking in.
That is sick.
I'm one of the greatest WrestleMania 2000 players that ever lived. There are two men who could beat me, and one of them is dead already.
Jesus.
Jesus
Christ. That's true. R.I.P. Mark Heilbrun. I traveled. One time, Dan's pledges. That's right. Dan was a fucking fraternity, bro. Dan's pledges called me and talked shit to me. I was in New York. They were in Delaware. They said, oh, we could beat you at this game. I drove down there, and I went undefeated for a whole weekend. No one could fucking touch me.
Let's head on over to the meme corner. What do you guys say? You want to head to the meme corner?
Let's do it.
Oh, everybody, get ready for the meme corner. Yeah. It's a hot day. Meme corner. If you thought there was something else, you were wrong, because it's the meme corner. It's a motherfucking meme corner. Phil, we got the memes loaded up. I think I got a shit ton of memes this week that I had to get to it quick.
How are you not getting sued for the usage of this fantastic song?
I don't know. So far, not flagged.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I love it.
Can I just show you something? Somebody posted this in the Discord just now.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to show you.
Do I have a choice?
No.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a new HBO Max show.
That's Eliza.
So why aren't you on the show?
Oh, it's Nikki Glaser's show, right?
Yeah, Nikki Glaser's the host of this. Why am I not on the show?
Oh, it's a real show.
Don't know.
F-Boy Island.
Because I'm not an actual fuckboy. It's part of it. But yeah, sure. Yeah,
I like to call myself an aging fuckboy.
That's true.
I'm an aging elder millennial fuckboy.
An elder fuckboy.
I'm an aging fuckboy who's losing his charm and hair rapidly.
A fuckman.
I'm a fuckman?
Yeah.
Yo, he's a fuckman.
Should I put that on my dating profiles?
Yeah.
This is a Kane with Triple H giving him
Stop messing with the fuckboys and get yourself a fuckman.
Yeah.
Comma me.
That's a great... Honestly, I think that would turn some heads on Bumble.
Yeah. I think I'm
key. I know I'm sexy. Anyway, it doesn't say sexy boy for a while. It was just say fuck boy. But all right, anyway. It's Kane with Triple H giving him a thumbs up probably during the Attitude Era. It says, random stranger wearing wrestling merch in public. And then Triple H with the thumbs up says, me. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a great meme because it's very accurate. Also... More accurate if he was offering the too sweet, right?
Yeah.
Well, depends. I don't too sweet people unless they're wearing Bullet Club or NWO merchandise. NWO Wolfpack merchandise. Well, let's be honest. I'll do it for black and white also. But, like, you can't just too sweet someone in a fucking Jeff Jarrett t-shirt. That makes no sense. You're saying you guys are too sweet anybody in merch?
Hey, dude. Too sweet. That's TOOSWE.
Well, technically,
dude, it really
that fell into the template of his name really well.
Yeah. Right, it did. But yeah, technically, you're right. He was in the NWO and in Bullet Club.
NWO silver and black.
Right. But no. I just mean, like, if I see someone rolling around in, like, a Sami Zayn t-shirt, I don't go, hey, too sweet me, bro. Right. If I see Bullet Club, and by the way, you don't see as much Bullet Club merch as you used to, but for those, like, 5 years where it was everywhere. Dan, you know the story I was walking in the Lower East Side of Manhattan with, like, UCB people, like, comedian people.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a Bullet Club shirt. And a bunch of just random Lower East Side motherfuckers were just, like cool guy leaning on a wall, just doing nothing, just, like, smoking cigarette and just hanging out. And I walk by, and they just walk up to me and just too sweet me. We don't say a word. They just go up to me, too sweet me, and bounce. And then everyone's like, what? What the fuck just happened?
So many times, and people are like, "What the fuck just happened?"
They're like, "Are you?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Are you in a gang, or are you the Godfather?"
Some things are better left unknown, my friend. You don't know.
I felt so fucking cool.
It's an inside thing, and you're on the outside, folks.
But you know what? Actually, what happened is this was in the early days of Bullet Club. Because again, I was an early adopter. Right? They said Bullet Club. I said it's real.
So here's the thing. Here's one thing I had. Shep, were you in the car with me when the guy was wearing the Hurt Business shirt?
No, but man, it's one of my biggest regrets in life now that I know that I wasn't. Did I have the gold leaf?
I'm at a stoplight, and there's a guy, like a big fat guy, sitting at the bus stop, and I'm just stopped right in front of him, and he's just rocking the straight up fucking black tee with the gold, you know, the gold Hurt Business print.
Hell yeah.
And I roll my windows down, you know what I mean?
Wait a second.
What?
I was with you. That was in Hawaii.
That was in Hawaii, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was in Hawaii after I kicked your fucking ass.
Yeah, fuck you. So,
you rolled it down. Yeah. The light turns green.
Yeah, what happened there?
You start talking to this guy at a bus stop. And the light turns green, and you're still talking to this guy. I'm like, yeah.
I was like, what'd you think? They broke him up. Like, what do you think, man?
It's like, I think they'll be back. Like, I think it's just like an angle. Like, I don't know, but it's good. And then I'm like, look, guys, I gotta go. Like, I know the thing about Hawaii.
Somebody, you can jump right at the. If someone's wearing a wrestling shirt,
you're friends forever.
You could dispense with the pleasantries, right? And you just get right into it, baby.
The thing about in Hawaii, they don't honk horns for nothing. So I'm just sitting there burning this green light, and no one's even honking. They're just sitting there taking it. I'm like, guys, we got to go. I feel so bad. Jeez Louise, man.
I love that for you. Anyway, all right, let's get into the next meme. I have so many memes. We got to go way faster for them. No, we can skip this one. I don't like this one.
Yeah, this meme sucks.
Yo, this is just this is Ric Flair and Miss Elizabeth, right?
Right.
Right.
It says the original, your wife is in my DMs, which is just a reference to Conor McGregor saying that to Poirier, is his name?
Yeah, Dustin the Diamond Poirier, who for this fight changed his name to, I think, El Diamante or something like that. Doesn't matter. The point is, your wife is in my DMs is one of the funniest, most ridiculous things to say to someone.
When your leg is broken?
Is it? Is it true? Is it false? Yeah. We have no idea. But...
Definitely not true.
It could be a level of truth. It could be a level of truth.
Hey, your wife is in my DMs.
She could have DM'd him to say, hey, fuck you, man. What you said about my husband is fucked up, man. You said you're going to murder him? That's disgusting, and I want to let you know. That could be true. And so technically, Dustin's wife could be in his DMs. Now, once she's in there, anything can happen. I don't know. Now, the interesting thing about this meme, though, is not the picture or the meme itself. It's that I love when Conor McGregor and wrestling have these overlaps, these tie-ins when the worlds collide. That's good omen for us. Okay, he'd make an excellent GM. And I love that the shout out to the poster of this meme is at Gully Blanchard. I love it.
Gully Blanchard's really funny. All right, next meme. Oh, well, this is what we talked about, but this is the classic AJ Styles. This is me enjoying the Hot Guy Detour song, and it's AJ rocking out. And then behind him, Undertaker looking all mean and dancing, motherfucking meme corner. People don't like that I'm interrupting the meme corner. All right, next one. We already talked about this one. This was not a meme, but this was Ziggler pointing out. Did you guys see Ziggler saying, sorry, nothing found for Dolph Ziggler in the WWE shop? And he posted it being like, and then Ziggler was like, it's getting harder and harder to convince my mom I actually work here.
I mean, super funny and also super shitty that there's no.
Why would there be? Is it that hard to print Ziggler merch? Like
maybe he's getting new merch and they just pulled the old stuff and this is like a work.
Let's be honest. Something's
weird with that. Sometimes they don't have merch and you're like, why not have a single shirt for every talent? Like,
let's be honest though. This is in the WWE Euro shop. Okay, this is not classic shop zone. I think if you look in the classic shopzone.wwe.com or just go to the WWE main website in America. There is Ziggler merch in America.
No, there's one. There's we one need shirt. Deep, I already know the answer to this. There's
we
one
need to
shirt,
deep dive.
I'm just saying, there's a youth shirt in a couple of sizes.
Wait, so in America, Dolph Ziggler has one shirt currently up and running, and it's a youth size shirt.
Yeah, look, there it is.
Wow.
I'd buy that.
Youth 4XL.
But here's the thing. What you have to understand. Here's what no
is
one
a Sonic
talks
Youth
about.
Reference.
Yeah.
Is it?
Here's what is it? What does it say?
It just looks like that. It looks like that classic Sonic Youth shirt.
Notice when it said it should have been me. When he said it should have been me thing.
Right.
That's kind of a fire shirt. Why is that only in kids' sizes?
I never noticed that this shirt is actually really cool.
Every kid should be wearing the shirt. I mean, it's a tough wear because it's bright, hot pink. So
true.
It's not for every day unless you're
not here to show the world.
Unless you're a heart. If you're in the Hart family, then sure, you could wear this any day of the week. But anytime. For the rest of us, it's kind of a tough sell. I think these days.
Kidd?
What?
Even Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, Tyson Kidd is a member of the family. But, you know, these days, like a dusty rose, like in a millennial pink, those are the pinks most people are wearing. A hot neon bold pink is a very tough sell. But here's what no one's talking about when they talk about Dolph Ziggler.
Shep's going to make the meme corner take 3 hours long.
Particularly when you're talking about Dolph Ziggler in a European audience, okay? Ziegler is a very Austrian, Germanic surname, okay? It's got major Nazi implications. And the name Dolph...
Excuse me.
We all know that Dolph is short for Adolf. It is. So you've got Adolf Ziegler. It's a very... It's hard to swallow. Now, if you're in Europe, you haven't forgotten what that was like, okay? Over here in the States or in Asia, maybe they're like, whatever, it's fine. But in Europe...
You say Europe?
I'm saying Europe. Europe. Next.
All right. Hey, everybody, coming at you, the Zoo
Are you
crew.
Saying...
What? Did you just say Europe? All right.
Tulo, I guess I called you Tulo. My deepest apologies.
I'm gonna go.
My deepest apologies.
Into a toilet and give myself a swirly.
My deepest apologies. I would never think
you're gonna jump in it and then give yourself a swirly.
After all I've done for you, Newman, trying to murder you.
I apologize. I would never think of you that highly. Look, so are you saying that Dolph Ziggler, the same reason Dolph Ziggler doesn't have a shirt in the European shop zone is the same reason that Elimination Chamber is called No Escape in Germany.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cultural sensitivity move.
Right. Yo, they got one pay-per-view in TNA that's almost called The Final Solution. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I've definitely, it sounds familiar, but I don't remember.
There's
exactly.
One in TNA, it's still just called like Final Solution. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Final Resolution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so close. That's two letters.
Yeah.
And I wrote like no.
It almost sounds like they want to do over, like a final resolution.
Let's run it back, guys. Hey, the Holocaust, let's run it back. One more time. Let's go. Hey, and by the way, they're not the only people who think that. So,
the fucking sequel.
Fuck all you.
Next meme.
Oh, final resolution.
Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Christ, TNA.
You know what? It's a little sensitive.
They had one during the pandemic.
You know what? It's a little sensitive. So let's take that RE and let's just shove that as far in the corner as we can.
Wow. I mean, to look at that, I'm not offended, but I'm just flabbergasted that they could get away with that.
Final
That's
resolution.
A classic. Like, you know how WWE gets away with shit that's so racist and fucking regressive and offensive that you're like, why does no one even give a fuck in this crazy, hypersensitive, cancel culture universe? And it's just because people write off wrestling so hard that they don't even care to check. And if they found out, they would be like, these people are fucking scum anyway. We're not even bothered. Not only are they scum, they're like, and they have no power. Like, if a Republican senator says something, like, well, they're scum, but also they're in charge. People have so little opinion of wrestling that they don't even care. But I mean, having a pay-per-view by a company called TNA, which, by the way, is like, come on, bro, grow up, called Final Resolution is like, I don't know. I feel like I got to tell somebody. I got to tell, like, I got to go to, like, the UC Berkeley campus and just let someone know.
Right.
Go to Oberlin? Like, where can I go to let the kids know they got to do... like, I don't want to do a fucking march about this, but someone should be marching about
someone should do a march. All right,
TNA final resolution
bro,
was, like, double offensive.
Next meme, please. Me looking for all the women mama told me I'd have to fight off when I became older because I'm so handsome. And it's fucking Christian throwing up the peep.
The peep watch?
All right.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great meme.
Straightforward meme. Doesn't need to be dissected.
Real quick.
Oh, my God.
Christian Cage.
Yeah.
Cincinnati 8, Cincinnati 9, or is he a true 7, true 8?
He's a true 7.
True 7? I mean, he's definitely better looking than Shawn Michaels right now.
True 7.
Next meme.
True 7.
Oh, this is my favorite.
This one, Newman, you take it away on this one.
This is Paul Bearer.
It's Paul Bearer holding the urn.
Holding the urn, gesticulating, and the caption is, me coming into work 45 minutes late with an iced coffee. And it's just the smug, just intensity of Paul Bearer. That one in the bottom right corner where he's like, this is my coffee, is the best one.
I just love making the urn iced coffee. Like, I don't know, like the rest of it, I don't give a shit about.
Oh, man.
Like just the $1 million of the urn. Like, oh, this fucking iced coffee is so fucking important to me.
$1 million shop zone idea, man. Like an urn tumbler.
Yeah. A Yeti, an urn Yeti. A thermos.
I would buy
thermos.
Six of them.
Dude, I mean, is Paul Bearer not one of the most iconic and greatest parts about 90s wrestling?
Paul Bearer is a better wrestler than the whole roster right now.
I mean, also, by the way, he's in this rare category of people whose wrestling names are, like, they could have just kept their original name and it would have made. He's Percy Pringle. That dude's name is Percy Pringle. Yeah. He could be the Pringle man. Like imagine Blank. That urn was a fucking nice roll of Pringles, a nice stack. Right. Be amazing. Another great one is Kelly
Barbie,
Kelly.
Barbie Blank.
Barbie Blank. Her name is Barbie Blank? They didn't go with that?
Kelly.
Come on, bro.
Her literally name's Barbie. Yo, this is why I wanted to get to the meme corner. Look at this. Kids today, it's a picture of NWO Revenge, and like, and it says, kids in mid-game. It says, kids today ain't ever going to know how lit things got when you could... how lit things could get when you combine WWF No Mercy with four people, four working controllers, and four rumble packs.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, four way. Yeah, yes. This is sleepovers. This
great
is
great time. Although No Mercy, the worst game than the other ones, but yeah, it's fine. Right. Next beam.
I love how much you struggled to like talk like a Zoomer because like that's
he doesn't speak. He doesn't
typed.
Speak Zoomer.
Yeah,
he doesn't speak Zoomer.
No, I don't speak in this. This was written fucking weird for me. Also, it's written pretty small on my screen. Here.
Well, but that's another boomer thing. Having bad eyesight is just you're just getting old. Hold on,
Let me put on my glasses. God. Oh yeah. Now I can say it. Now I speak non-boomer. Let's go.
Sheesh.
Next. Non-boomer. Perfectly applied.
Thank you.
Perfectly applied.
Well, this I actually can't read. What does this say?
This is Taker, and it says, find wrestling you like and shut the fuck up about wrestling you don't like.
It's pointing at the WrestleMania side.
Facts.
All right, fuck this one. I don't like this one.
Yeah, that meme could go fuck itself.
Yo, this is Right to Censor.
This one hurts. This one hurts.
Realize that Right to Censor won the war, and the WF, now WWE, became PG.
Wow.
Great call about that.
Let me tell you something. That meme is fucking straight facts. That meme, I didn't even realize that, but that's the reality we're living in right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, next.
Who do we got? Right, it's like a Val Venus. Oh, sorry, never mind.
Yo, this is a picture of Kenny Omega with his Lemmy haircut now. Mm-hmm. Like a facial. It says Lemmy vibe, right? He's got the same. It says, the guy at the party that says he's not an undercover cop watching me do rails off a stripper's ass. All right. Close. This is close to being funny.
It's not that funny, but it's a cool, you know, it's whatever.
Undercover cop works here. The joke could be better, right?
Yeah.
Quick question. Have any of you guys ever blown cocaine off of a sex worker?
No.
Have you, Shabs? Hold on. Don't answer yet. Don't answer yet. All right, hold on. All right. Shabs, have you blown cocaine off of a sex worker?
Look, the answer is I don't remember, which means probably yes.
Somehow
it
that
sounds
is
like it could
correct.
Happen. There's definitely some moments where all those elements were in the right place at the right time. I can't imagine not have done it. I can't imagine having not done it, but I don't have the memory in my head that I did do it.
Wow. All right, next beep.
I think that's it.
That's it. All right, good. Good. We should move on. It's fine. There's more. I gave you more, but it's fine. Maybe they weren't good enough. All right. Anyway, because we got to just quickly talk about. Whatever. Bailey's injured. I hope she gets better. 9 months. She'll come back. That sucks for her. They put Liv in the Money in the Bank. We'll get to that. The only other thing I want to talk about in wrestling, and then we'll just look at these cards. Just look at the Money in the Bank and discuss because now these cards are full. They're setting up Samoa Joe Karrion Kross feud on NXT. Karrion Kross choked out Samoa Joe. So do you think – I actually think what they're going to do is Joe's going to beat – I think Joe's going to beat Karrion Kross, and then Karrion Kross is going up to main roster. And then we get a Joe title run on NXT.
Is Joe wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cleared.
I thought he was just the GM or something. Or
he's cleared to wrestle.
But has he had any matches or no?
No, but Karrion Kross choked him out.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Joe
is an
amazing guy to be the NXT champion, you know?
He's the perfect guy to be the NXT champion. I would absolutely love. I mean, I think Karrion Kross... Look, let's be honest, guys. I'm out in Hawaii. I mean, I'm sponsored by Truly. I'm drinking seltzer every day, all day. I'm on sailboats. I'm partying. I haven't watched NXT in... over a year. I don't know what the fuck is going on over there. I mean, I popped it on when Finn came back just to take a look at the guy. But this Karrion Kross fella, I'm not sold. None of you guys seem sold.
I'll tell you this. Random thing. Dipperstein tells me he loves Karrion Kross. Thinks he's great.
Interesting.
He told me to me. I was like, we got to have a longer combo. I can't even handle this right now. Like, because what is there? Like, I get... him being the champion of NXT. Like, I get that. I get Vince wanting him to bring him up because he's a bigger guy, whatever. But what is there to really like about him? He does nothing good.
Is he a bigger guy? If you put him next to Randy Orton, is he a big guy?
That I don't know. He's huge in NXT, but that's saying nothing.
I mean, Adam Cole's got the shoulders of a sixth grader. You know, like, what does big in NXT even mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know.
Anyway, I think that'll be a really cool.
Newman, what do you think about Kross? Are you in or out?
He's just boring.
Yeah.
There's not much to even like. You know what
there's
I mean?
Nothing
like,
to say.
Yeah. Like what do you? Yeah. Okay. Like he's gonna be. The thing is, he's. So I had this thought the other day. The someone who's like, you'll hear this a lot. Oh, he's perfect for like the main roster, right?
Right.
And people say like about him specifically. He doesn't belong in NXT. He'll make more sense in the main roster. But like main roster is like your character is broad enough that it will get like mass appeal. And that's exactly what he is. So I don't deny that I think he will be huge on the main roster, but it's because he is just sort of like, he's like anything you can project onto him. You know, there's nothing there.
He could fill
to be offended
kind of Triple
by.
H role if they right. want for him.
I just don't see him being that I don't think he's that big. I don't think he looks that tough. I don't think he looks that strong.
No, he doesn't.
I really haven't watched enough of him.
Like, none of what he does works.
I haven't seen enough of his matches to determine if I think he's got like the goods in ring. All I know, like from the little I've seen of Karrion Kross, is the promos are meh, and the guy seems to really get a bump from being with like, you know, a straight fire 10. It's like he's cool because his girlfriend's cool. And she's very interesting. There's not that many, like, mega babes. And that's her gimmick, and that's fine. So, like, I get why that's a cool package deal, but on his own merits, I don't see anything that interesting about this guy.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even need to waste time on him. I don't get it at all. We'll just see on the main roster how it goes. But I want to talk about who's going to win these Money in the Bank briefcases this weekend.
Otis.
So, the men's one is fully spoiled here, and it's Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Nakamura, and Seth Rollins. So, if we're going through this, the real potential winners of this are
Drew,
I don't
Big
see
E,
Ricochet
Seth.
Being able to win. I think it's Drew, Big E, KO, or Rollins. I think those are the guys who could win.
Yeah, right? And I think
they're going to go Rollins.
I think they should go Rollins because it's been so long and he was so good with it. And
he's also like, in kind of a great zone to be holding that case. He's kind of wacky right now. It feels like it's kind of like it gives him more of a wild card vibe, you know?
I would love – I think Seth is the right maneuver here. But Big E's just bound for that push. Why not? He'd be super fun with the case, right? I mean –
he's
I'm not
another
gonna be
great choice.
If Big E had the case, I wouldn't be mad.
Nah.
Drew doesn't feel like a guy that needs the case or would look that fun holding a fucking briefcase around.
Drew
he's more
even be in this match.
Nah. But I mean, look, it's never a bad idea to throw Drew McIntyre in a
Yeah, but Drew McIntyre's been getting title shot after title shot all year. He's like the top guy. Why does he have to go in to get the briefcase? It's just like, whatever. You can't hate someone being in a match. It is what it is. You know, he's a huge guy in there. You know, help like be the base for a lot of these big moves. You know, like the higher flying shit or whatever. But like. But, yeah, Big E, Kevin Owens just feels like, I don't know, feels like they're fucking over Kevin Owens or something. But yeah,
it always feels like they're over Kevin Owens, though. They've been over Kevin Owens from the jump. But let me tell you, I'm not mad at Kevin Owens on the briefcase either. That could reset
I love
his,
Kevin
where
Owens
he's at.
The briefcase. But if I had to pick, I think we all agree Seth or Big E are the two guys who are going to win it, right?
Right.
That's what feels about right.
And it's possible it's Drew. I mean, any chance Matt Riddle wins it?
Are we just going to go through it and be like, yeah, there's a chance. No, I mean, Matt, chance. But I mean, if you think about it, Otis won last year. I mean, Riddle's not below the chance I would have had Otis winning last year, right? True. Otis was a complete curveball.
Vince learned his lesson on that. He literally gave it to The Miz.
No, but they do shit like that every once in a while, right? Yeah. They'll take the case away. But I mean, like, there's a chance they take a chance on Riddle. I feel like, you know, he did everything right. He skirted a sexual abuse allegation. He started hanging out with Randy Orton. He did all the things that Vince probably loves, right?
Vince is a huge fan of that.
Vince is a fucking piece of shit. So, you know, it's possible. But I think if gun to the head, we say Rollins. If there's two guns to the head, we say Rollins, then Big E. And then we'll see what happens after that. You can't have three guns because you only have two hands.
Yeah. All right, yeah. And then for the women, there's one spot that's TBD, which is like the Becky spot, possibly.
Jillian Hall.
Jillian Bell, probably. And it's but then the people can win. Asuka won't win it. Naomi, I guess, could win, but she feels so irrelevant right now. They haven't like done anything with her. Alexa is like in too goofy of a zone, but maybe, but I don't think. Like, it just doesn't, it feels weird. Nikki Cross, I don't know, maybe with this new thing she's doing. Liv Morgan is possible because they like just threw her in and they're pushing her. So it's possible they just go start giving Liv Morgan her moment as she's like, you know, been there a while. She's a babe. Maybe Vince is like, let's give her that push and kind of give her like a spot there. Zelina Vega could win it.
That's what I want, but that's not happening. But that's what I want.
Natalya and then just TBD. That's really... It's like, I don't know. It feels so aimless what they're going, you know? Gun
Wait,
to the
is,
head.
Is
Who
Nikki,
do you choose?
Did you say Nikki Cross? Is she in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this whoever's TBD wins it. And it I think if Becky shows up, I think they just give it to Becky also.
Right. Right.
Right. Even though she doesn't need it, they're just going to be like, that's fun for her to have the case. Like, she doesn't need it to get a title shot, you know? Although Vincey Claus did kill the rematch clause. man, this, yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. Money in the Bank. I hope there's no cash in, though. I hope they, like, let the crowds come back, have the briefcases be floating, you know what I mean, as things are getting more fun. That's what I'm hoping they don't do. Like, I'm not a fan of the cash in on the night of unless it really makes sense.
Yeah, but can you name a time when it happened where it wasn't awesome?
It's awesome every time.
Right. So what are you talking about? Like, you are a fan of it. Unless it makes sense, it always is great. I'm a fan of it.
It's that instant gratification. You know what I mean? But like, then I go like, all right, I guess no briefcase for the year.
But to think about it, you really don't need two people bumming around for 6 months holding briefcases, right? If you have one person having a briefcase, that scratches the itch. And I will say, this might be a unique scenario in wrestling where this is the one thing that I think they haven't overdone to the point that it sucks. Like, the night of cash in at Money in the Bank, I think they've actually used the right amount. They use it just enough where it happens a lot, but not too much, and it's pretty fun, and I love it. I love it.
Okay, fine.
I love it!
And then this rest of this card is whatever, but, you know, some good shit on it, but, like, you know, nothing to be, like, crazy excited about. Literally, it's AJ Styles and Almost versus the Viking Raiders is on this card, but
God
Reigns
damn it,
Edge,
man.
I'm pumped for.
For what?
Reigns Edge. I mean, that's why I'm watching the pay-per-view.
Huge.
Reigns
that's
Edge.
That's so huge.
Yeah. And they're going to be in front of a crowd, which is going to be sick, you know?
Edge is...
You think you know me.
When I don't think of Edge as one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. But when I think about the moments that I had legitimate goosebumps on my skin, it's a lot of Edge moments. It's a lot of Edge moments in there. Ladder matches, TLC matches at 17, his retirement, his comeback at Rumble. Like, this guy.
Edge is one of the great. I love Edge.
Gets
I think
me
Edge is
fucking
underrated somehow.
Going, man. He gets me going.
And how much Tulo hates on Edge so much makes me like Edge even more.
How dare you
disrespect Edge?
Can I tell you something I've noticed?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something I've noticed about people who don't like Edge? This is a harsh criticism. Arlen doesn't get Edge, Tulo doesn't like Edge. If you don't like Edge, it's because you haven't actually watched wrestling that long. And you're a new fan who doesn't really respect the business or understand the classics or have the lineage of fandom that I have. I'm out there watching Steamboat Mach, okay? I'm out there watching the Dusty Rhodes box set 3-disc cover to cover. I've been here for 30 years. You don't like Edge because you don't fucking understand wrestling.
Listen.
He was at WrestleMania 6.
He was.
As a boy.
I don't shame somebody for being like, I didn't watch during that era. Like, I don't give a fuck. You don't have to watch all wrestling. Like, you're allowed to dip out this and that. That's like, you know.
Look, no one
shit
dips
that carries
out.
Over from sports. It's like,
no one dips
you just
out
got,
more than
when
me.
When they got good, you started liking them. Like, in wrestling, that's cool. I'm down with that. Okay?
No one dips out more than me, Dan.
Right. But don't come at it when you don't, you know, like, don't shit on something you don't understand. You know what I mean? Like,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you don't like
Edge has done such quality professional wrestling theater work, okay? Specifically in the theater elements of it. That, like,
dude, there's also
over the top licking people's faces.
Dude, there's all this other Edge stuff that you have to understand.
Literally, Shebs, I watched Shebs at an event become an Edge fan instantly. You were like, I don't like Edge. I was like, yo, I think he's fucking awesome now.
It's not that I don't like him. I was like, I don't buy this guy's a main event guy. Like,
right, to me,
he was a tag guy. He was an IC guy. I was like, I can't believe he's main event.
We were at an ECW event in a Hammerstein ballroom, right?
Yeah.
And then what did he do?
Well, if you're talking about the hump pin.
Oh, no. Where was that?
We watched that on TV. That was the
slaps. That was Tommy Dreamer, right?
Right. That was a different thing. Okay. At Hammerstein, what Edge did that was amazing is he speared John
Foley.
Cena while wearing a motorcycle
helmet.
He speared him with his head.
Yeah.
But the reason, the single turning point where I said, all right, Edge is ready for the main event is he was rated R Superstar. He was the originator of taking that Money in the Bank briefcase and becoming the ultimate opportunist with it and making that great TV of no one was swooping in when you just had a grueling match.
He would show up and be like, he would literally come out and just judge, like, is he down enough? And sometimes, like, no, it's too risky. It's right. too risky at bouts. Like, that shit doesn't even exist
anymore.
He's
the guy who cashed in when Cena was dead after a match and just yeah. came in and got him. But he came.
I think that was his first title, no?
And he pinned, I think, a woman. Was it Lita? Was it Vicky? Who did he pin?
I thought it was Kelly Kelly, no?
Maybe it was he pinned some gal.
Yeah.
And for the 1, 2, 3, he had the legs rolled up, and he just, it was missionary with the legs on his shoulders, and he, on every beat, on 1, 2, and 3, he was pumping. He humped the pin out.
And he's the rated R superstar. It's the most on gimmick. It's, I mean, nowadays, you know, say what you will, but at the time, it was so, it was like, what a piece of dude, character work.
I looked
know?
At that, and I said, this guy gets it.
This guy studied is with wrestling. Marcel Marceau.
He studied with Marcel Marceau. No, but look, Edge, look, if you talk about, when you talk about Edge,
good for you.
This guy was making out with Vicky Guerrero for years yeah. as part of La Familia.
And he married her for the title.
He married her for the title.
He was fucking, he had a Schmeagle, like sickness for the title, where he would literally marry Vicky Guerrero.
He would do anything for that gold.
Anything.
He organized one of, honestly, such an underrated stable, La Familia, where yeah. it's Vicky Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero, yeah. Edge, what I was calling the Edgeheads, which were the first appearance of Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins, when they both looked like Edge. They both had long Edge hair and wore the same things he wore. Man, it was incredible. It yeah, was incredible. Sick. Edge has gone through so many rebirths and phases and distinct character moments that are all awesome. It's almost at the level of Chris Jericho.
Well, it's almost there. It's not there, but
it's not quite.
There.
Jericho's the GOAT,
but
Edge is the only guy. If you're going to talk about like Jonathan Winters to Robin Williams, that's what you're talking about. We're talking about Chris Jericho and right. Edge. He's the only guy that could even say they do something like this guy. No one does what this guy's doing.
I agree. I think Edge, just the fact that he came back was so Edge. Like, it was such an Edge fucking thing to do where you're like, he had a nice life. He's fucking had money. And he had to get, like, all these unnecessary triple fusion surgeries in his neck to solidify his neck just to fucking taste it again. And, yeah. like,
and just, then what? Slam HGH into his fucking system.
Yeah, and my meal plan.
Get it all compacted in.
Look, I got to pee, and I got to get out of here.
But there's a love. This is the difference.
You can't get these Hawaiian guys to stop.
This is the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Okay, what Michael Jordan has is a disease. He's an incomplete person. He's a sick fuck. He will stop at nothing for that ring, for that title. And LeBron James is just a really amazing basketball player and good dude, right? There's great wrestlers. Okay,
and Kobe was like that also. Like Kobe
was sick.
Kobe was like a sickness, right?
But no one was.
Were you talking about
MJ.
Kobe or Jordan?
So you're saying that Jordan is like Anakin.
You were talking about Jordan.
I'm talking about Jordan. Kobe was the only guy who had what Jordan had. But what I'm saying is that Edge, you see this guy as a kid in the crowd. You see this guy fight tooth and nail to get to the main event. If they told him
he's
he had to fucking
fuck.
Rip his daughter's head off and drink her spinal fluid for Lyric? Another shot at the title, he would say,
oh my God, he would pull a fucking he would
good.
Thanos
Serve it
his
up,
daughter
Beth.
Right off the cliff, baby.
He'd be like, move over, Hillary Clinton, give me that adrenochrome.
Edge is an adrenochrome junkie. And I respect it, and I love it.
Yeah, I'll say one last thing, and then I got to go, because I got to pee, and I got to get out of here. So let's just pee when I'm out of here, okay, folks?
Okay, let's pee.
But here's the deal. Shawn Michaels was saying that he was – actually, him and Nash had a lot of beef when he left the curtain call, which I didn't remember, is because Shawn was like, only cared about wrestling and not money. And Nash was like, I wanted money. I, like, wanted to live the American dream. He's like, I wanted, like, a big fucking payday. So I was like, I went to WCW. He said, offer me this huge payday. And Shawn was mad at him because Shawn's like, we're here. We're fucking winning championships. We're traveling. Like, we're doing our fucking thing. Like, you're going to go to that company, like, just for, you know? And so Edge is in that Shawn camp, you know? And I'll always admire it, you know? That Shawn, Brett, the guys, they're so fucking serious about pro wrestling, which is such a ridiculous thing to be serious about, but also it is great. It requires those people. You know, it demands those people. And thank God they exist, you know?
My favorite thing about...
Because The Rock will not get us there. Like, I love The Rock. The Rock loves wrestling, so it's almost coming off as like, I'm bringing up a whole other thing I don't want to get into, but The Rock there's something about Edge where they eat, sleep, and breathe wrestling in a way that is different.
Not everyone gets to be The Rock, all right? The Rock is just like, is born perfect.
Right.
He's a perfect specimen ready for this life.
Anomaly.
With generations. He is pure
Even
wrestling.
If The Rock wanted to be that, he couldn't because he's too talented.
Right. What you know? Edge is, Edge has got grit. Mm-hmm. Edge is the guy who just
And he'll tell you.
He'll be the first. I'm saying what Edge has is, it ain't going to work for you, pal. It ain't working out. Like, honestly, he may never have a title around. He may never be the world champion again. But he will never sleep until he does it again. The Rock doesn't need that belt ever again. He's fine. He goes to bed great. Edge will be fighting. I hope they put that title on him one more time, because if not, he will stop at nothing in real life to get that thing around his waist one more time.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, we got to go. We'll see you at the bonus. I got to figure out how to do it at the bonus. I was too long here. Maybe Newman, you'll do the bonus episode with me if you're around. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. I got to get my phone fixed, but yeah, tomorrow.
Okay, well, fine. But everybody, so all right, couple things is that I'm going to be dropping today, possibly early tomorrow. With this episode, it should be dropping the bonus episode for all patrons of Hot Tub Hanging, talking to them through Mount Rushmore minisode. That's going to be coming out. The bonus episode will be coming out this week. We'll talk about Fyter Fest. And next week, Shebs will have a big announcement on the podcast. His big announcement this week was that there's a big announcement next week. So we're hoping to have more information from that. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Mahalo, bro.